figure. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabuck in this house.
Hey. Yeah, that's right. We are on the air live from the Westside Studios, located on the third floor of the Kingdom Ministry Baptist Church. We have a wonderful show for you on today. Let me fix my sound. Awfully loud over here. There we go. There we go. We have a wonderful show for you on today. Today's conversation. Is your church worship more pagan than Christian? Is your church worship more pagan than Christian? That's the question that we're asking on today. It should be a pretty good show. I'm excited about what's about to happen in here. But in the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King. And guess what? I am all by myself one more time. Now, we all know we done had this conversation. We done talked to the peoples. And the peoples know that you can only leave me in here for so many days by myself. But, hey, all I can do is show up and do what I'm asked to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. So we're going to do the show. I could hear the nervousness that's not being said right now. But we're going to do the show. We're going to do the show anyhow, like we're supposed to. And we're just going to let God handle the rest. Let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the line, meaning you've already called in and you're sitting there waiting to hear what's about to happen, just push one and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, you can dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. You can be a part of the show just like that. Amen. If you are on social media, so are we. You can watch us or follow us on Ustream. I'm sorry, you can go to Ustream. Ustream is up and running, right? Yeah, I am good. I'm gone. There I go. What's up, now? Talking to myself. That's how I be sometimes. But Ustream is open. Ustream is open. Right now, you can follow us on Ustream, ustream.tv, and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon right there on ustream.tv. You can see us live in the studio or me once again in here by myself. Where the people's at? I don't know, but we're going to keep moving. Also, if you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. And you can email the show. We'd love to read your email over the air. Also, we're on social media. You can tweet us. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Real easy to do. You can tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. And you can definitely tweet the show. And we would love to read your tweet over the air as well. And last but not least, Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And you can find us there. Facebook Live will be up in a minute. I'm just trying to hold my peace. I'm trying to do too many things at one time. But Facebook Live will be up and running in a minute. And you can also watch us there as well. Amen. 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 Oh, my goodness. Look here. So, look, I have a great show. Real quick, shout out to my brother. He is actually on his way. Getting ready to go to St. Louis. He's going to a conference in St. Louis. So, hey, he's got to be out there to do that. And we're just going to pray for his safe travels on his way to St. Louis. So y'all pray for him as well. And then my other partner, Pastor Michael Henderson, he is still in Virginia at the Hamptons Ministers Conference. So that's where he is. And I don't know if you've been following. I posted one of the videos earlier this week on my Facebook page. Man, they are having a wonderful time, and I guess what? We will be there next year. I don't care what has to happen, but we're taking the whole show to the Hamptons Ministers Conference, because I just think, man, from what I saw, from the preaching that I heard, the teaching that I heard via for what they were able to put online, it is absolutely wonderful. It is a must. Must be location. It is a place that we must be at. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And it's just something good that I think we should be a part of. So, you know, hey, why not? Why not just pack up and go? Have show, will travel. Amen? Amen. So, look, I know we got people on the line. Y'all already sitting there listening. I appreciate you. I love to see the numbers just keep popping in. It's wonderful. My goodness. So, look here, y'all. There's some stuff in the news that I want to share with you. And once again, today's conversation, we're going to jump into it in a little while. Is your church worship more pagan than Christian? Is it more pagan than Christian? We're going to talk about that. And that should be good. Should be a good conversation that we can all partake in. But before we get to that, in the news, and I feel bad for not mentioning this the other day when it was first talked about on the air. There is in Stamford, Connecticut. I don't know if you guys have heard about the Brock Turner rape case. The Brock Turner rape case in Stamford, Connecticut. Let me just give you some details on what actually occurred and where we are with this right now. Brock Turner is a Stamford, Connecticut student, or was a Stamford, Connecticut student, who I'm not
Thank you.
Okay, y'all. Sorry about that. We are having some major, major issues with Blog Talk Radio right now, which is what the problem is. I'm just going to go and put it out there. They suck. I'm going to say it. And, yes, I said it real loud. We're having some major issues with them. They are the reason that that we have been having these difficulties. Right now, so please accept my apologies for the problem. I mean, I'm unfortunately having a conversation with this woman from Blog Talk via chat, and yeah, and she keep trying to talk to me, and I ain't trying to really hear what she's saying. Yeah. So, but I you know, anyway. Oh my goodness, my goodness, my. Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, as I was trying to say before I got kicked off, and I know I lost a lot of people who were already dialed in, probably won't call back, and that's okay. But it's all right. It's quite all right. This is once again, this is on Blog Talk. This is not something that we did here locally. This is them. This is the service. Yeah, I know you hear me now. Yeah, I know you hear me, but you don't really hear me because your service sucks. Sorry, she says she hears me. Yeah, because we got kicked off live on the air. This is 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row. And, yeah. Whatever it is, I'm not sure, but we gonna deal with it. But as I was saying, I was trying to tell you guys about this case in Stamford, Connecticut. The guy's name is Brock Turner. He's a swimmer in Stamford, Connecticut. It says he was convicted of three felony counts, and he was only given 6 months. He was given 6 months. I'll just read you the report from CNN. It says widespread outrage has erupted over a California judge's decision to give a former Stanford University swimmer a 6-month jail sentence for sexually assaulting an unconscious woman. Critics are blasting the decision as far too lenient. Prosecutors had asked that Brock Turner be sentenced to 6 years in prison for the January 2015 assault. The controversial sentence was followed by the release of two dueling letters to the judge about the case that have been widely shared and sparked further outcry, one from the victim, who described her ordeal in 12 searing pages, and another from Turner's father. Watch this now. The father of the rapist dismissed his son's crime as 20 minutes of action. What he pretty much said in a nutshell is, don't hold my son accountable for 20 minutes of drunk action. Forget the fact that there is a victim. Don't hold my child accountable for the rest of his life for a 20-minute mistake. That's what he's saying. That's what the father said. Now, let me give you some of the background on this. He's a swimmer at Stanford. The judge is a Stanford alumnus. So instead of him getting 6 years, the judge gave him 6 months. Not even 6 months in prison, 6 months in the local county jail. How is it that this happens? And then we find out. The father sends this statement. I'm just going to read the father's statement. He says, Your Honor, if it's all right, for the majority of this statement, I would like to address the defendant. I'm sorry, the 20 minutes of action here. I don't even want to read this because it's horrible. It's horrible. What I really want people to understand is these are the current state of affairs in this country. Now, if you take away from this, there was another athlete who was falsely accused of rape, who was convicted of rape, happened to be black, sentenced to some 15 to 16 years in jail, did some time, and then his case was overturned when they found out he was nowhere to be found. There was no evidence that he was even in the room, nothing. His case had to be overturned. But once again, his lawyer, because he really couldn't afford one, so whatever lawyer he got, said you should take a plea deal and you should do this. In this case, this guy had an attorney on his side that was actually working for him and a judge who just happened to be a Stanford alum. I need y'all to do some reading. Now, this is not a new thing, because this happens every day in this country. And it's not necessarily a black and white thing. It's more of a privileged thing. Privileged thing. Because some folks believe, because they have money and standing, they get looked at differently in the courtroom. They get looked at differently in the courtroom. They don't get the same treatment in the courtroom. They don't get the same treatment in the courtroom. Just an FYI, I took Ustream down for a while just to give y'all the full. I took Ustream down for a while, but it is back up now, so you can come back in for those of you who are on Ustream. I did bring it back up. I didn't need Ustream to hear what I was saying behind the scenes when I was off the air. Some stuff I just need to not share with y'all. But Ustream is back up and running right now. I just want you guys to know that, so you can definitely come back and catch the rest of that and watch live here in the studio. But this is an outrage, and it just goes to further let us know that in this country, as much as we like to believe that we have progressed, a white boy, and I won't say it, a white boy because he's a white boy in Stanford, Connecticut, raped a girl, was convicted on 3 counts of sexual assault and deviancy and all this other stuff, and only got, the judge gave him 6 months. And watch this, he can get out in 3. And he was sentenced to spend his time at the county jail, not the prison, but in the county jail. Now, so once again, we find ourselves, and this is why it's so important that we vote. Now, there's no way we can vote for this person because they're in Connecticut. But watch this: the judge did a little research. The judge has been running unopposed for his job for years because nobody runs against him. This is where your vote is so important. Now, I don't know if I got some listeners, according to these stats that we got. We got listeners all over the country and all over the world, but I strictly want to talk to those of you who might be listening in Stanford, Connecticut. If y'all don't vote this fool out of office come November, then you just get what you get. He should be removed from the bench immediately. He should not even be allowed to preside over traffic violations. Let me get the judge's name so I make sure I'm clear on exact, so y'all know exactly who we're talking about here. What is this judge's name? Yeah, Persky. Judge Persky is his name. Yeah, you can Google him. You can look it up. Judge Persky. Just Google Judge Persky. Judge Aaron Persky, Superior Court Judge Aaron Persky. Watch this. This is his reasoning for this lenient sentence. Watch this. Watch this. This is what he said. Turner's age and lack of criminal history made him feel that imposing a six-month jail sentence with probation was appropriate. Turner also has to register as a sex offender. Watch this. He said a prison sentence would have severe impact on him because I don't believe that he will be a danger to others in the future. Y'all hear that? This is the judge's statement. He feels that it would have a severe impact on him. Judge Persky, let me ask you. I'm trying to hold my peace. I'm a little upset with the Blog Talk people, and I'm trying. This ain't got nothing to do with them. Let me say this, Judge Persky. What about the impact of the woman that was raped? Huh? You concerned about the impact of the severe impact on his life, the criminal, but you're not concerned about the severe impact that he caused that's probably going to haunt this young lady for the rest of her life. But you're going to give him because we don't see that he's a danger. Oh, he's not? He's not a danger? Really? In what world is he not a danger? On what planet is he not a danger? The problem is, can I be real with y'all? Can I talk Facebook? Y'all know we family. Can we talk, blog talk? Can we talk, listener? The reason, I'm just going to tell y'all like it is. See, there is a code in prisons. See, there is the justice system, and then there's what we like to call prison justice. Ooh, y'all bear with me. I'm trying to get these words out the right way. Y'all pray for me. Trying to get them out the right way. Had this guy, Brock Turner, this little boy, had to go, you know, and y'all look at him, he's a little freckle face special. He's so special. Look at him. Y'all just go to him, he's a little redhead, freckle face special. Now, you know, Mr. Innocent, whatever, yeah, him. Just look at him. He's there. Now, had he had to go to the prison, you know, where they send the real criminals, the hardcore criminals. See, prison justice would have been served on Mr. Turner, huh? Y'all stay with me. Because, see, in prison, what was going to happen was the same way he took, and here's going to be the difference. See, the woman was unconscious when he raped her. Now, y'all can talk about the fact she was drunk or whatever. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. She didn't say yes. She didn't say come get it. She was drunk. So you took advantage of that. Now, if Mr. Brock would have went to the prison house, trust me, when they would have got hold of his little freckle face, freckle behind self, up behind them prison bars, I promise you, what was going to happen to him, he wasn't going to be unconscious when it happened. They was going to let him know exactly what they were going to do to him and what they were going to have him do to them. Y'all, come stay with me now. I know you're going to get mad, but I'm just telling you what it is. That's why the judge did not send him to prison. Because the judge was concerned that this little boy, if he goes to jail, is going to get treated some kind of way. See, you're more concerned, again, about the criminal than you are about the victim. I got a problem with that. You should have a problem with that. This makes absolutely no sense. No sense at all. Once again, the privileged. Don't be black and get accused, because even if you ain't guilty, you might end up with your behind in jail. Huh? The privileged. The privileged gets 6 months after being convicted on 3 felonies. The unprivileged get 15 years, even though they didn't commit a crime. It's absolutely crazy. It's crazy. Here you go, y'all. It's Praise Break Friday. I'm going to move on. I just thought I would share that with y'all. I wanted to get that out the way. I wanted to get the heavy stuff out the way because, you know, yeah, it's just a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more than I saw that, and I said I would be remiss if I didn't share that with you all. I know our listeners are, y'all are very y'all very knowledgeable when it comes to things, but sometimes y'all might miss some stuff, so I felt like I needed to share that little nugget with you on this afternoon. Amen. Also today, you guys, in the news today, it is the funeral service, the public service for Muhammad Ali, happening right now in Louisville, Kentucky. That's happening right now in Louisville, Kentucky. So they're out there right now. I was watching a little bits and pieces of it. You can catch it a little bit later. I think they're doing a processional, and I think it's going to be some 18 miles that they're going to drive through. Through Louisville, Kentucky, and then the funeral services themselves will start sometime around 12:45 or 1:45. I could be off on the time, but somewhere between 12 and 1:45, 12:45 or 1:45, the Eastern or Central time. But that's going to definitely be today, and I'm going to try to make sure I get myself in front of a TV so I can try to catch up with it. And I would love to watch it. Just for notes, Bill Clinton is scheduled to speak. Billy Crystal is scheduled to speak. Will Smith and Mike Tyson, pallbearers. They were asked by the family to be pallbearers, not honorary. They're real pallbearers, so they are pallbearers. So definitely want to keep an eye out for that. If you have a chance, you can get in front of a television. Spend a little time to just honor or to pay your respects, whichever way you can, to the late, great Cassius Clay, otherwise known as Muhammad Ali, the greatest, is being laid to rest today. They're having his services on today. So if you get a chance, definitely tune in to some media somewhere where you can watch and take a part in that, because it's good. It's good. It's something that I definitely think we'd all be, like I said, we'd all be remiss if we missed it. So it's definitely something you want to look at. Amen. So look, let's keep going. I'm gonna take a quick break, catch my breath, and come back. When we come back, we're gonna have the food, the national holiday, the national food day of today. We're gonna have that for you when we get back. Okay, I gotta help my people. So we're gonna have the national food day of the day when we get back. But in the meantime, we're going to take this little praise break, and we'll be right back. Come on, Judy. Give me a little something. We'll be back, y'all. CPLO.
Come on, let's give him the highest praise. Come on. The Lord.
Yes, sir. Come on, Judy. Come on. My. So look here, y'all. We are back. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you listening. Taking minutes off. Oh, my goodness. We appreciate you. We thank you so much for your patience during all of the craziness. But once again, you want to email the show, you can feel free to do that. Taking minutes off at Comcast.net. Taking minutes off at Comcast.net. Feel free to give us your opinions or whatever it is on the conversation so far. You're welcome to chime in and jump right in. All right. So, y'all know we've been talking about this. We kind of got caught up in that. I was a little upset last Friday because it was National Donut Day. No, it was, Monday was National Donut Day. So, you know, and we found out some things, so there's all these national food days. And so this goes out to all my people who like to eat. I'm going to bring on my producer extraordinaire, Miss LaTanya. Could you please tell the people what day it is today?
Well, first I have a question. I got to tell the national day. But today is National Iced Tea Day. It is America's national beverage for the summer. And you know what? I decided to provide you guys with some helpful hints for today. You can get a free iced tea with purchase from Chick-fil-A or Starbucks if you buy a Savannah drink.
Hold on one second. Is Chick-fil-A and the last people, are they cutting us a check?
What? They cut us a check, but I mean,
Huh? Yeah.
But I see all things fat, though, and it's free.
But I ain't no check. It's about the check.
But, I mean, this is a church show. I'm trying to provide hospitality.
Continue with your segment, please. Go right ahead.
Okay. And Starbucks, if you buy a Teavana drink, you'll get a second for free in mango black tea lemonade and peach green tea flavors. I just got one question, though. Do sweet tea count? I'm just asking.
We thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Goodbye. That's right. Yeah. What in the? This is not going to be. Yeah, see, y'all know about this. Here's the thing. I don't mind sending people to good locations to get stuff. You know, I did the whole thing with the Costco hot dog, and that was the one. You know, but here's the deal. First of all, iced tea. I don't even like iced tea. I don't even drink iced tea. Matter of fact, I barely even listened to Ice T the rapper when he was hot. I like him better on SVU. But I ain't thinking about no iced tea. The drink of the summer is lemonade. Now, argue about it if you want to. I don't care nothing about no iced tea. Ain't nothing like a good cold glass of lemonade. For my folk who not super Holy Ghost filled, ain't nothing like an ice cold margarita in the summertime. Say what? Joe said it. Let's move on. Sweet tea. Really. Sweet tea. That's what you gave us. Sweet tea. Anyway, we're gonna move on. My God, my goodness. Okay. So check this out, y'all. Little last bit of news. So Donald Trump. Y'all know Donald Trump, he's the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. Hillary is now the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. So Trump is at a rally right now. And once again, a fight has broke out in one of the Donald Trump rallies. Once again, a fight has broken out in one of the Donald Trump rallies, because people are sick and tired of him showing up at places and talking all this negative mess that he talks, and then thinks he can just come and say what he wants to say and get away with it. So once again, another fight has broken out, and now according to news, the Republican Party is thinking about showing up at the their national convention and just shutting him down completely and nominating someone else on the floor, which they actually can do. They really can't. I don't know if you know that or not. You can win the votes. You can win the votes, and then you can show up at the convention, and those people at the convention can say, you know what, bro? We done changed our mind. We do not want you as our nominee. You are horrible. So that in itself is going to be the best laid television. You think reality TV is good? Trust me, the Republican National Convention is going to be the best thing on television when it happens. So don't be surprised if there's an all-out World War III on the Republican Convention floor, because it's going to be crazy. Going to be insane. So look, y'all, let's jump into today's article. We're going to jump right into today's conversation, and hopefully we can give you guys something out of this. It should be good. Today's conversation, is your church worship more pagan than Christian? Is your church worship more pagan than Christian? I'm hoping that we can get something out of this. It should be good. This article is on Christianity.com. Christianity.com. ChristianityMobile.com. However you want to find it, it's all there. Christianity.com. Different website. But the writer is Todd Pruitt. The writer is Todd Pruitt. Now, I can tell you this much. I know I've seen Todd Pruitt's writings on other, he's been on board for church leaders and also for the Christian Post. So he's an excellent, excellent blogger and writer when it comes to the Christian community. So let's just jump right into today's conversation. The writer says there is a great misunderstanding in churches, in churches, of the purpose of music in Christian worship. He says churches routinely advertise their life-changing or dynamic worship that will bring you closer to God or change your life. Certain worship CDs promise that the music will enable you to enter into the presence of God. He says even a flyer for a recent conference for worship leaders boasted, "Join us for a dynamic teaching to set you on the right path and inspiring worship where you can meet God and receive the energy and love you need to be a mover and shaker in today's world. Alongside our teaching program, our worship events will put you in touch with the power and love of God." That was the flyer. The writer says, the problem with the flyer and with many church ads is that these kinds of promises reveal a significant theological error. Mm-hmm. He says, music is viewed as a means to facilitate an encounter with God. It will move us closer to God. In this schema, music becomes a means of meditation or mediation between God and man. But this idea is closer to ecstatic pagan practices than Christian worship. Mm. The writer says, Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. He alone is the one who brings us to God. The popular but mistaken notion regarding worship music undermines this foundational truth of the Christian faith. The writer says, it's also ironic that while many Christians deny the sacramental role of those ordinances which the Lord himself has given to the church, baptism and Lord's Supper, they are eager to grant musical sacramental powers. Music and the worship experience are viewed as means by which we enter the presence of God and receive his saving benefits. There is simply no evidence whatsoever in Scripture that music mediates direct encounters or experiences with God. This is a common pagan notion. It is far from Christian. Here we go. He says, in a helpful book, True Worship, Vaughn Roberts offers four consequences of viewing music as an encounter with God. Okay. So let's talk about it. So a lot of times, and that's why I was glad for the last few months I had been doing a teaching on the importance on praise and worship. And one of the things that we were learning and that we were all learning together was that praise and worship itself, music is not what connect, that is not how we get to God. It's your lifestyle of worship. It's your lifestyle of praise. It's your lifestyle of study that moves you closer to God. The music is just an outward expression, but it's who you are on the inside. It's your worship on the inside that moves you closer to God. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go. Let's keep going. So the writer says, number one, God's word is marginalized. He says, in many churches and Christian gatherings, it is not unusual for God's word to be shortchanged. Music gives people the elusive liver quiver, while the Bible is more mundane. Pulpits have shrunk and even disappeared, while bands and lighting have grown. But faith does not come from music, dynamic experiences, or supposed encounters with God. Faith is birthed through the proclamation of God's word. You don't believe me? Check Romans 10:17, where it simply says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. And I understand the writer's perspective. And you know, this is why we do these articles. We sometimes agree with the articles. Sometimes we don't. Here is a case where I think the writer is talking about, in some cases, where there are some churches who are more concerned about their music ministries than they are about the actual word of God. They're more concerned about singing the right songs and making sure people are living the lives that the songs proclaim we're supposed to be living. He says, pulpits have shrunk No, this is what he said. He said, music gives people the elusive liver quiver while the Bible is more mundane. I'll tell you this. The Bible only becomes mundane when you present it in a mundane fashion. It's no different than a book. If you ever had, if you've ever done this, and I suggest people do this, and it's a different way, and I've actually used it, and I haven't played it in a while, but I actually, somebody bought for me a few years ago the Bible. They bought it for me on, I think my mom or somebody bought it for me on a DVD or CD a few years ago. And, you know, I listened to it, but here was the thing. The way in which the Bible was being read was drawing me in. Now, because I know Bible, you know, it doesn't necessarily take all that. But if you're trying to teach a Bible, the biblical stories to people, they don't need to hear it like this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Then there was a great earthquake, and the prison walls began to shake, and immediately everyone's bands were loosed. I can tell you right now, I'm asleep. You see what I'm saying? So if you decide to give a mundane, and for those of you who've ever been to college and have had to sit in a lecture hall and listen to a teacher or a professor sit up and just talk at you for 15 to 25 minutes in this low, dead, mundane, unfeeling voice, then yes, you do need something to back that up, because I'm sorry, because everybody, unlike the writer, unlike myself, unlike others, those of you who study the word, everybody is not as astute when it comes to the word. So, see, for me, I understand what happened the night Paul and Silas prayed in the prison. So I don't care if you read it like that or if you read it with all type of charisma. Either way, I understand what happened. But for someone new, and you're sitting there telling them about this great happening in the Bible, this great occurrence, and you're making it sound like you just took some bread out of the package and put some butter on it and decided to put it in the oven and make toast. See, that's what that sounds like, dead. So there has to be a correlation between the word and the music. There needs to be some a semblance of excitement about that thing. There has to be. So I agree that you should not marginalize the word of God to further your music ministry. But at the same time, I also don't think that you ought to treat the word of God as if it's some lifeless book that you're reading from. You should not treat the word of God as if it's some dead novel, or like you're reading the Encyclopedia Britannica. That you should not do. Let's keep going. Number two. The writer says, our assurance is threatened. He says, if we associate God's presence with a particular experience or emotion, what happens when we no longer feel it? We search for churches whose praise band, orchestra, or pipe organ produce in us the feeling we are chasing. But the reality of God in our lives depends on the meditation of Christ, not on subjective experiences. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with Todd to a certain extent. But watch this. Even if you take what happened in the upper room, when all those people got saved in the upper room, that was an amazing experience for them. Do you not think they longed for the same experience to come again? And what they end up having to do was they took that experience and then they went out and taught other people. Now, the Bible doesn't speak of any other occurrences like that one happening, but you have to know those people were on fire for God. When you're on fire for God, nothing puts your fire out. No, we might not have the same experience, but because I know who God is and because I know who he is to me, I can recognize that, yeah, I ain't going to have the bass player this week. The drummer might not hit the same beat this week, but it's still the same God this week. Come on now. Huh? He said in the Old Testament, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So if he was the same God then, he's the same God now. Whether I praise him with a 50-piece band and choir next week, and I got five people singing the following week, my praise should not change based on my circumstance. Come on, somebody. Y'all help me. Help me. Help me. I think we sometimes get confused because we tend to think, and this is where the writer is correct. We tend to think it's all about the music. We tend to think it's all about the music, and then we get so caught up in the music, and this is why so many people are lost. I'll give them this much: so many people are lost because they come to church for a concert, never getting the actual word. Because they can remember the word, they can remember what song the choir sung, they'll remember what song the praise team sung, they'll remember all of this, but they can't tell you what the word was. That's the difference. It's so important to have good music, but what the writer is saying is you can't let the music be the only thing that people get when they come. Now, don't get me wrong, I completely believe if you are singing spirit-filled songs, and most gospel songs, most of them, not all, because we got a few that's crazy, but most gospel songs are scripture-driven. They are scripture-driven. So at the same time, you can't say, well, you know, all I got was a good song. If you're listening, if your heart is open to what's being sung, no dip, because here's the deal. Just like you can zone out or tune out the praise team and tune out the choir when they're up singing, you can also tune out the word. Huh? If what's being preached is coming in a mundane, dead fashion, or if you're standing up giving me a theological dissertation that you used to get you through your classroom, see, it's different when you're giving that to a professor, because as a professor, I'm listening to make sure that you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed, and that you conjugated all your verbs correctly, and that your diction and your enunciation was wonderful. That's what I'm listening for in the classroom. In the church house, I'm listening to see if you're going to say something to me that's going to get down in my spirit. I'm seeing if what you're listening and what you're teaching me and what you're telling me is going to help me in this situation that I'm currently in. See, theological dissertations are for professors. Sermons are for the congregation. Sometimes I think we get caught up in between the two. We don't recognize the difference. It's great to tell people and give people background. Well, you know, this word comes from the Hebrew, this and that. That's wonderful. But how many of the people in your congregation can speak Hebrew? I'm not talking to my Jewish brothers and sisters right now. I'm talking to my regular folk over here now. Huh? How many of your people actually care that this word is derived from the Greek? You really don't. I don't. The only way I'll care about if it's derived from the Greek is if you say it in Greek. If me saying it in Greek is going to help me get closer to God and get me out of whatever situation I'm in. Now, if me saying it in Greek don't help, then come on, teach me Greek. Otherwise, you can keep the Greek information to yourself. I'm just saying. There has to be a connection between the music and the word. They cannot be separate. And because when they are, people notice. People notice. You can have the best preacher in the world. If the music that precedes him and then follows him is not good, people will notice, especially in the African-American church. We are rhythmic people. We are. That's just who we are. That's how God made us. Ain't no slight against. But we are rhythmic people. We love creativity. We listen for it. So when you come with good music, you will grab our attention. And then after you're done singing, that word ought to be able to come behind that. And so now the music opens us up and gets us prepared for the word that follows. Now, if you sound a hot mess beforehand,
then my ears are shutting down. Huh? Come on now. Okay. You know we talk about food a lot on this show, but let me talk to you like this. You ever been inside a grocery store? Y'all pray for me. You ever been inside a grocery store and when you walk in the door, it stank? Y'all know them stores. I ain't going to call them by name, but y'all know what I'm talking about. You walk in the grocery store and there's this smell that hits you. And what you don't know is if it's coming from the meat section or if it's coming from the produce section. You don't know what it is. But what happens is this. This is what happens for me. Now, some of y'all might go in these stores and y'all feel real comfortable. And, hey, bless your ministry. But when I walk in these stores, instantly, the first thing that comes to my mind is, especially if I'm forced to have to go in there because I got to get something and this is the only place I can get it, guess what? My goal is to get exactly what I came in there to get and then get the hell up out of there because I don't want the smell to get on me. You follow what I'm saying? If I walk in the door and I instantly get hit with this odor, I'm thinking something in this store ain't right. Either it's the meat, the food, something. Do I really even want to eat what's in here? Hopefully what they sent me in here to get comes out of a can and it's in a hermetically sealed package, so I have to worry about the fact that it might not be no good. The same thing happens in church. If when I'm sitting there and I have to walk in and hear a choir sounding a hot mess or a praise team sounding a hot mess, or musicians sounding a hot mess, then instantly I'm tuned out. So even when the preacher comes to deliver me something that probably is going to be good for me, it's like, okay, in my mind, did they really just sing that song? Like, did they really just tear that song up like that? Now, I know. Those of you, my super Holy Ghost folk, field folk, going to say, well, you know, if your mind was stayed on Jesus, you wouldn't even pay no attention to that song. You just need to stop lying. Y'all need to stop lying. Because when that bad note is, when somebody strike that real bad note, I don't care how much your mind stayed on Jesus. When the musician is in C, and the soprano hit an I or a Q. Yeah, y'all know me. I went way off the scale. You know good and well you heard that mess. And you wondering what animal just got killed. Let me move on. Number three. Again, we're talking about, is your church worship more pagan than Christian? Is your church worship more pagan than Christian? Number three, musicians are given priestly status. He says, when music is seen as a means to encounter God, worship leaders and musicians are vested with a priestly role. They become the ones who bring us into the presence of God rather than Jesus Christ, who alone has already fulfilled that role. Understandably, when worship leader or band doesn't help me experience God, they have failed me and must be replaced. On the other hand, the writer says, when we believe that they have successfully moved us into God's presence, they will attain in our minds a status that is far too high for their own good. Okay, let's talk about it. What the writer is saying here is that a lot of times we have a tendency to elevate musicians, singers, musicians, choirs, whatever, into the realm of priests. We even call our music directors. We call them music directors. Now, if you notice this, they've gotten away from the term minister of music. They're now using the term MD. You get that? That's the new term that's thrown out, MD. Oh, that's my MD. That's the MD, music director. There is nothing wrong with either term. Let me just say that. There's nothing wrong with either term. It's fine. The only thing that I would say is this. You don't ever want to elevate people, and I don't care if you're elevating, whether it's the minister of music or if it's the person preaching. They're both human beings. Neither of them be perfect. Can they preach a sermon and preach the walls down and bust hell wide open? Yes, they can. Can they sing a song in a way that lifts your spirit and breaks yokes and everything? Yes, they can. But do they go home and put their pants on and dress on the same way you do? Yes, they do. So I get what the writer is saying about not elevating people, but I wanted to be made clear. The same people that can stir up the gift or can get us excited. I'm not going to say stir up the gift because that's the Holy Ghost. But the same people that can stir you, who can stir your spirit with their talent, whether it be singing or playing music or even a preacher who can stir your who can stir something up in you with his oratory skills, they are still human. They are still human beings with flaws just like you and me. So, yes, it's wonderful to applaud them for their gift, but you never want to put them so high that you begin to worship them and not who we're really there to worship. Because see, then we'll start to get the mindset, well, if he's not here to preach, then we ain't going to get no word. If she ain't here to sing, we ain't going to get no word. If he ain't here to do the opening, the call to worship, then the service ain't going to be right. It shouldn't matter who does the call to worship. Your job is to worship. It should matter who's leading the songs. Your job is to worship. That's the important part. That's what matters. And we need to get to a point and a place in our worship that we recognize we're grateful for those who have the talent. We're grateful for the talented singers, the talented musicians, the talented musical directors and ministers of music, and the talented preachers. But at the end of the day, our job is to worship. That's our goal. That's our goal. That's the purpose for the gathering on Sunday, is the corporate worship. I would say this, and I would make this a part of my normal routine if this was something that I was able to do, is that when you stand up on Sunday and when you're doing your call to worship or whatever you have in your church, is that, you know what, you let people know, if you feel like you ain't got nothing and you're lying to yourself if you do, but even if for a moment you don't feel like you have anything to praise God for, you ought to look at the person to the left or right of you and just praise God for the fact that they're there with you. You ought to praise God for them. Praise God for them. Praise God for that person on your road who might not be able to stand up and wish they could stand up. Praise God for that person in your church who you know who got all hell breaking out in their family, but they don't know how to praise. Why don't you just praise God for them? See, we need to get out of this, well, I ain't got nothing, well, I'm tired. Praise God for somebody else. Dance for them. Huh? Come on. Just shout for them because they can't. Clap for them because they can't. You know what? I'll take it a step further. Clap for them because you know they won't. Clap for them because you know they won't. Praise God for them because you know they won't. That's true worship. True worship says, this ain't got nothing to do with me. This is about giving you glory. And God, because I'm on a roll by myself, and I got all these folks sitting here looking crazy, God, that means I'm going to have to praise a little bit harder because I'm sitting on the road with 10 people who refuse to give him glory. So, God, I don't want you to ignore my role. So I'm going to praise him just like it's all 10 of us on the road. I'm going to praise him by myself. So like Larry tried to say, I brought my own shout with me. I don't need nobody to praise God. I don't want no rock to cry in my place. So I'm going to praise him for me. Y'all can sit here like a bump on a log if you want to, but I'm going to give him mine. And guess what? Since you're going to sit here, I'm going to praise him hard enough for the both of us. That's just real. That's just real. Let's keep going. Oh, my goodness. My. Last one. The writer says, division is increased. Uh-oh. I'm going to need a sip of water for this one. He says, division is increased. The writer says, if we identify a feeling as an encounter with God, and only a particular kind of music produces that feeling, then we will insist that same music be played regularly in the church or gatherings. As long as everyone else shares our taste, then there is no problem. But if others depend on a different kind of music to produce the feeling that is important to them, then division is cultivated. And because we routinely classify particular feelings as encounters with God, our demands for what produce those feelings become very rigid. That is why so many churches succumb to offering multiple styles of worship services. By doing so, they unwittingly sanction division and self-centeredness among the people of God. Wow. So let's talk about this. You got about, 10 minutes? Let's talk about this, a little bit over 10 minutes. There are people, and I am guilty of this, I enjoy a certain style of worship. I enjoy high praise. I enjoy high worship. I enjoy songs of meditation that stir up feelings of – I love emotional praise. I love charismatic praise was a better word. I love charismatic worship. But let me explain to you what that means. That doesn't mean that every song needs to have been written in the year 2000 and higher. What that means is, because watch this, I don't mind a deacon singing the Dr. Watts when it's sung with some type of feeling and emotion. And when you are a singer, make sure you hear me right now. See, maybe you ain't the best praying deacon, but you could be a good singing deacon. You know, you might not be a good publicly praying deacon, and then maybe you shouldn't. But maybe you can sing a doctor. See, I have no problem with that. The problem I have is when you are working or exhorting in an area that is not your gifting. See, there's nothing wrong with worship, but when it's done in excellence. I don't care what you sing if it's done in excellence. Because, see, when it's done in excellence, you can see God all in it. When it's just being done because that's what we do, then you also can see the mediocrity in it. There has to come a time when we recognize, even if all my job to do is to get up and do the announcement, or if my job is to strictly just get up and tell y'all about the offering or whatever, do it with excellence. Don't do it like, well, ain't nobody else up here, so I guess I'll do it. Or don't do it because, well, Deacon so-and-so used to do it this way, so I guess I'll do it that way too. If God didn't put it in you, then guess what? It ain't going to come out of you. So sometimes we need to just stop trying to be like other people. We can't pray. I wish I could pray publicly like Deacon Ned Byrd used to pray, or like Deacon Albert Byrd used to pray. I wish that was something I could do, but that's not something God gave me. Now, I can mimic Deacon Byrd if I wanted to, but then that wouldn't be a sincere prayer. That would be me praying like Deacon Byrd, trying to sound like Deacon Byrd, trying to evoke the response that Deacon Byrd used to get. You follow what I'm saying? So there's a difference. There's a difference. So I don't care about, you can sing a Dr. Watts. I mean, but if you can sing, see. Now, if you can't sing a Dr. Watts, then you should not sing, period. And don't sit up and tell me and tell a lie to the congregation that the Spirit put this song on your heart. No, that's you wanting to hear the hand claps of those who used to clap for the one who's no longer here. You want to emote those same hand claps. Let's close this out. The writer says with this, he closes out, he says, Scripture is full of exhortations to God's people to sing and to make music to the Lord. God has been gracious to give us this means to worship him. But it is important to understand that music in our worship is for two specific purposes: to honor God and to edify our fellow believers. Unfortunately, many Christians tend to grant music a sacramental power which Scripture never bestows upon it. Amen. My goodness, amen. That is absolutely right. Music is for two specific purposes: to honor God. And now watch this. If you're going to honor him, that means you do it in excellence. Come on now. Come on now. And then it says to edify our fellow believers. Come on now. To edify our fellow believers. Do you understand that? And you know what? See, maybe we don't understand. Maybe we don't understand what that means. Edify, meaning to instruct or improve someone. So, see, watch this. When we're doing praise songs, we're doing it to edify you, to instruct you, or to improve your level of worship. It is not to edify myself. It is to improve your level of worship. When a praise, when an exhorter or worship leader stands before you and tries to get you to worship, it is not for his sake. It is for your sake. That's what edify means. It is to build. It is to build. It's to construct. It is to improve spiritually. That's what the word edifying means. Maybe we don't understand that because I blame teachers, I blame instructors, I blame pastors because we throw this word around, edify, but we never tell people what edify means. Yes, I know they can Google it, I know they can look it up, but if you're going to use a word so many times, you might want to tell people what it means. So when the choir is singing and the choir is giving praise and honor to God, then at that same point, that's also giving you instruction to give a better or the same praise to God. It's to improve you. It's to improve and grow your, to construct, to build a worshiper. My God, they preach fool. It is to improve. It is to construct you. Is to give you instructions and directions on how to worship and why we worship and whom we worship. That's what it is. We got to get to that. We have got to get to that level. Maybe if we did that, maybe if we gave those instructions, and if we did that, people would recognize what praise and worship really, really is. Maybe. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. I've enjoyed this. Hope you've enjoyed it. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to talk about something real quick. On Wednesday, had a very good show. It was a good show. I had a good time. With the thing dealing with major disappointments, it was a good show. Got a lot of good feedback on the show. As you know, on Wednesdays, I'm here in Chicago. For those of you who are not local, because I know we have listeners all over the place, and we thank you. We thank you for listening. For those of you who are not local, I am here. I'm not. The studio is based here in the city of Chicago, in what is known as the Austin community. In the summertime, because of the violence in the city that gets even worse, once the weather breaks. The organization that I am a part of, 100 Churches, 100 Blocks, 100 Churches. We gather on the corners throughout the city. Every Wednesday from 6 to 7, we are asked to come out on main street corners. And, yes, I understand your churches are on corners or in the middle of blocks, and I understand that. But people have to travel to your church. And in order to get to your church, they have to come through some of these main street areas. And on a lot of these main street areas, you tend to see a lot of loitering and illegal activities going on. We have been asked to go out and stand on corners in some of these high traffic crime areas. And I believe this is a, even though I was asked to do this by the 15th District community and everyone else and other stuff, I believe this to be a divine instruction. I believe this is something, this is God saying, okay, you all have gotten real comfortable inside, but on the outside, where the people are, where the unsaved are, and the unchurched, you have completely forgotten about them. I believe this is God's way of saying, because you have completely forgotten about them, I am going to let them run amok. I am going to let them put you in captivity. Let me put that in language you can understand. What this simply means is, those of you in the church in Chicago, your church is under captivity. The reason I say that is because if you are afraid to leave your church and to stand with your fellow brothers and sisters on the corner, and I'm not saying stand on the corner by yourself, I'm saying gather with other churches. Well, you cannot allow fear to keep you in a 50-foot radius of your church. Yes, I know crime takes place in and around these areas, but watch this. The criminals are not just in front of your church. They pass through all types of locations on their way to committing crimes, all types. And if you don't recognize that, then shame on you. I put the call out on Facebook, and y'all may have followed me or not. I don't know if you haven't. Go to my Facebook page. I was out there. We were live on Facebook. It's a shame when you have 200 churches in the Austin community, and the Austin community was on six different corners on Wednesday. And from the reports that I'm being told, because I get a number from people, we had a total of eight pastors. Eight. Eight. Eight pastors, y'all. Eight. 200 churches in the Austin community. There were eight pastors out on the corner on Wednesday. Now, I know, as I heard it say, your pastor is busy. You don't know what he's doing when you don't see him. Let me say this. If you never see him doing nothing, if you ever never see them doing anything other than showing up on Sunday, if you walk like a duck, talk like a duck, swim like a duck, it ain't a mongoose. So I'm going to need y'all just to come on out. So look, every Wednesday, come on out. We'll be on some corner, central and something. Just find us. We're out there. Check me out. We'll talk more about it on next week, Wednesday, next week, Monday, all the week. But look, we want to pray traveling mercies. Father God, right now, we thank you, God, for the time we've had on today, God. We even thank you for the technical difficulties, God, that you allow to happen at the beginning of the show. God, we thank you because they teach us consistent. They teach us to be patient, God, and they teach us, however hard it may get, God, that we need to be consistent and keep on it and to stay true to who we are and to continue to fight regardless of the situation. So, God, we thank you even for that. God, we ask that you would keep our partners who are on the road right now, God. We ask that you would bless Pastor Winder while he's out right now on the road, God. We ask that you would bless Pastor Michael Henderson while he is out on the road right now, God. We ask that you would just continue to bless those that are out and that are traveling, God. We even ask that you would thank those who work behind the scenes, God. We thank all of them for their continued support, God. We thank you for our listeners and who they are, God. We thank you for them and their patience, even through the trying times, God. We thank you for them, God. We thank you for all of them, God. Now we ask you would touch those, God, that are going through things right now, that you would touch their families if they're having any difficulty, God. Then, God, that you would touch their children right now, God. God, we ask you would put a hedge of protection around all the children here in the city of Chicago, God. I would even go so far as to say that those that are shooting at each other, God, allow them only to hit themselves and protect the innocent in the process, God. If they choose to shoot, allow them, God, I ask that you would direct the bullet, that it would hit each other and that those that are innocent would be spared. God, we ask that you would bless each and every church that is opening your name, God, each and every radio show that is teaching your word. God, we ask that you would bless them and that you would prosper them. Then, God, I know because you don't run out of any blessings, God, that the ones that you have, those that are remaining, that you would send some by way of TTLO radio station and those that support it. God, I pray for families. I pray for reconstitution of the families, God. I pray for resurrection of families right now, God. I pray for resurrection of the broken, God, resurrection of the hurting, God, resurrection of the financially broke, God. I ask that you would repair friendships, repair hardships, God, and birth new friendships and birth new relationships. We ask this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, y'all, look, it's Friday, and it's hot. And it's hot for real in Chicago right now. My phone say that is 86 degrees, but the thing say, but it feel like 94 degrees. My God. So we going to pray that y'all act right in the city. So those of you in the city, look here, y'all keep y'all heads on a swivel, and y'all stay blessed. It's been wonderful. Love y'all, man. I love y'all for real. Y'all love. We out of here. Stay blessed.
Sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter.